All right, we're glad you're here tonight. Take your Bible to Exodus chapter 4, if you would. And I will ask you to pray one. I forgot to mention the brother Dunbar. Pray for brother Chester. He said, I've got COVID again. And so he's been diagnosed again, tested positive again for that. So pray for him that will go well and he won't have as much trouble as he did the last time, and it'll be quicker. He'll get to feeling better. I hope you'll do that. And it's good to see Cedro and Delia tonight. They were sick, and they're better. So what a good thing, all right? All right, you're there in Exodus chapter 4. We're going to kind of jump right into the middle of the story in verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether there be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, we're at the stage here in the life of Moses. Obviously, Moses has been called to go and to serve the Lord. And, you know, can I just say this? You say, Preacher, that doesn't need to be said. Well, I've found out a lot of things don't need to be said, have to be said.
That's right.
And one of those is serving the Lord is the right thing to do.
Yes, sir.
It is just the right thing for us to serve the Lord. Every child of God ought to be involved and happily involved and excitedly involved and faithfully involved in the work of the Lord. You say, Preacher, God hasn't called me. Yeah, he did. He called you when he saved you, okay? He saved your soul. He called you to serve him. He did not save us so that we could then merely sit around and wait for death to take us home to heaven, all right? That's not what the purpose of salvation was. And you weren't saved to do that. Now, I will say this to you, not everyone is going to be as involved, if you will, to the extent that Moses was. I mean, Moses, obviously, it was a big thing. But God doesn't always have a need for someone to face a government official and demand that his people be released to go into the wilderness to worship him. I'm really kind of glad we don't have to do that, all right? I'm glad that's not what my calling is, all right? It's not to go and say, man, let my people go. Now, it may get there in our land, all right? It may get there in our land, but hey, by and large, I'm just glad that's not what he's called me to do, all right? On the other hand, I believe that there's always a way and a place for everyone to serve the Lord and serve the God who saved them out of an eternity in hell. Hey, look, there's got to be something we can do. He said, well, I don't know what it is. Well, how hard have you looked? How hard have you looked? Most people, the first thing when you begin to talk to them about this, they tick off everything they can't do. Well, I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I can't. And I can't. Well, let's find what you can do, all right? Man, some people have spent their life figuring out they can't, all right? Well, why don't you spend some time figuring out what you can? Exactly what is it God wants you to do? You know, if you spend as much time looking for what you can as you did for what you can't do, God help you somewhere, all right? He'd show you a place that he wants you to serve and a job you can do, something he wants you to do, and we ought to do it, all right? But now, I'll tell you this, all right? We need to realize that there's always going to be opposition put in the way of anybody. Doesn't matter, any Christian who decides to be obedient in service, there's going to be opposition, okay? It's just going to happen. You can count on it. Moses, though, we read here, Moses had finally come to the place where he was about to get after the business that God had called him to do. Now, what I want to preach to you tonight is the subject of on the road to service, all right? On the road to service. Just about four things I want you to see. Number one, ties need to be severed. Ties need to be severed. Now, I'm not talking about the kind you wear around your neck, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. Some of you said, man, I was hoping that was the one. No, that's not it. But ties need to be severed. What do you mean? Well, look there in verse 18. Here's Moses. He goes to his father-in-law, Jethro, and he says, let me go. Let me go. You see, Moses had spent 40 years thereabouts in service to Jethro, his father-in-law. He'd been with him. He'd worked for him, worked with him, and for all those years, and it was time now to sever the ties. Well, listen, we need to understand there's a right way and a wrong way to go about that.
Oh, yes. Amen.
There's a right way. You don't just not show up.
No, sir. No, sir.
We had a Christian school teacher several years ago. Well, it was a good many years ago now. And we got a rumor that she wasn't going to be back after Christmas. But she had never said a thing to us about it. Not one word. Nothing. But we got that rumor, and we went and we asked. And oh, no, 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 no. But guess what? The first day of school after Christmas, she didn't show up. She never called. She never resigned. She never said, I'm not going to be there anymore. Nothing. I mean, she just wasn't there. Went looking for her. She'd moved. She was gone, all right? Now, I know what happened to her, and I'm not getting into that part of the story, all right? You say, well, she's in great sin. No, no, but she did wrong. Look, you don't leave without letting somebody know. You don't just walk out. You don't just say, you know. And by the way, the best way to handle and sever ties is not to just say, hey, I'm leaving, see you. Hey, just Moses. Now, Moses, yep, you could say, wait a minute, God had called him, I know it, but Jethro deserves some courtesy.
That's right.
Hey, where did we get the idea that anything that's going on removes us from the obligation to be courteous, to be kind, to be decent, all right? Just to be decent in what we do. Christian duties, spiritual activities, they don't absolve us of our common courtesies and responsibilities of life, okay? That's not an excuse to say, well, you know, God called me, I'm leaving, bye. Even in the business world, it's commonplace to give a 2 weeks' notice. It's commonplace. Why? Well, that's just a nice thing to do.
Amen.
That's to give your boss time to find somebody to replace you. And as valuable as you are, it'll probably take at least three, all right? So you got to work at it. Give them time to find those three, all right? Hey, just common courtesy. And that's what Moses is doing. Moses goes to Jethro. He realizes, look, I'm about to leave. I'm about to take this man's daughter. I'm about to take some of his grandchildren. And we're about to depart from where we've been now for years and years and years. We're going to another land. I need to go make a break with him. I need to let him know I'm going to do it. Hey, sometimes ties need to be severed. They need to be severed. Some people never do much serving God because they can't sever some ties. They just can't sever some ties. We have missionaries. God calls them into service somewhere. And man, they go across the sea. Go across the ocean, they may be 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 miles away. You have to sever some ties. Now, we're blessed today. We're the one great blessing of technology is you don't have to wave goodbye and say, see you in 4 years. I'll write you a letter. You'll get it in 3 months. Hey, man, the postal service wasn't quick. I remember we'd get letters in the mail from missionaries, and they'd say, pray about this situation. The truth of the matter is, by the time we got the letter, the situation was done. Whatever it was, it just took so long for the letter to get here. What a blessing today. We've got missionaries who can sit down in Uganda or South Korea or Indonesia and peck on a keyboard, hit a button, and send an email, and it'll be there in no time. I mean, it's there. And we can meet, we can pray about that deal. Well, not only that, it's even better than that. You get a smartphone or you can use your computer and you can talk face-to-face with people that are thousands of miles away.
Amen.
We do that with the Mahaneys every time I do it.
Amen.
We hang and it ends, I think. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. We can look in the face and talk face-to-face and not have to say, over. Used to. I remember a time when you'd make a phone call, a missionary would call you from the field, and he was going through a ham radio operator. And when you were through, you had to say, over, so they'd know it was their turn. Because you couldn't talk over each other. Now you can look at each other and stick your tongue out at them, all right? I mean, they're right there with you. What a blessing. But you still have ties to sever. You still have ties. If you're going to serve the Lord, sometimes you're going to find there's going to be ties you're going to have to sever. Sometimes it's family ties. Sometimes it's work ties. Sometimes it's friendship. They just have to be severed. But that's not the only thing you face. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Now, there's two things I want you to see here. One is there's a bit of a problem with the reason Moses gave to Jethro for leaving.
Right.
Would you look back in verse 18? What did he tell him? He said, look, let me go, I pray thee, and turn unto my brethren which are in Egypt and see whether they be yet alive. Plain and simple question. Is that why he was going back?
No.
Nope. Now, he might have wanted to do that, but that wasn't the reason he was going. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that Moses didn't really tell the truth.
Amen.
Here's this great man of God, and he was, but he didn't tell the truth. Now, just in case you think for a moment, well, hey, if he didn't have to tell the truth, well, he was supposed to. He was supposed to. Hey, he was going to deliver the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh. He wasn't going back to check on his brother. Now, he could do that while he was there, but that wasn't the reason. You say, what's the problem? Sometimes the flesh doesn't want to take as strong a stand as we need to do. The truth of the matter is Moses should have told his father-in-law the truth. Now, he didn't have to give him all the details. He didn't have to say, well Jethro, let me tell you what happened. Just a few days ago, I was out there on the backside of the wilderness, you know, and there was this bush on fire. But you're not going to believe it. And I went over to that bush. That bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning up.
Right.
It was just blazing away, but it wasn't consumed.
Right.
But and Jethro said, I don't know if I can believe that. Moses said, well, that ain't all, all right?
Yeah, right. Come on.
While I was there, God spoke to me. Jethro might have been wanting to rethink giving his daughter to him for marriage, all right? He might have just wanted to say, wait a minute, we need to reconsider here.
Amen.
Now, Moses didn't have to go into detail, but Moses should have told the truth.
That's right.
But sometimes the flesh is a little hesitant to really go all the way, take the stand it needs to take. But we all deal with that, all right? We all deal with that. He didn't do what he really should have done. And somebody said, well, he only told a half truth. Well, sometimes half truth is almost a lie then, right? Shouldn't we really tell the truth? He should have told him the truth. But, hey, that maybe isn't the worst of it. We get to verse 19. Look again at what verse 19. The Lord said unto Moses in Midian. Now, what the Bible could have said right here was, for the fourth time. Okay? Right here, the Bible could have said, and the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, for the fourth time,
yep,
go, return into Egypt. All right? Fourth time God told him to go. You say, why did he tell him again? Well, the only thing I can figure is between verse 18 and verse 19, there was a little bit of lag in time. Moses had gone to Jethro, and he had told him, I'm leaving, but he had kind of fiddled around about doing it. Just kind of messed around about leaving. Have you ever had somebody at your house that was that way?
Amen.
They said, I'm leaving, and they scooted 1 foot down the couch toward the door.
Right.
And 30 minutes later, it was, well, I've got to go, and they scooted another 6 inches down the couch, right? Before long, they're sitting on the arm of the couch.
Right. Yep.
Next thing is, open the door and help them out, okay? You know? Moses, oh, he took his time about going. And God gets up there and tells him again, you need to go. He had said goodbye to Jethro, but he still hesitated to leave. Hey, folks, can I say this to you? When you need to do something, when you need to do something serving God, you need to realize that procrastinating will not gain anything for you. It won't do it. But it can put you at great risk for the judgment of God. Great risk for the judgment of God. Now, before we look at Moses and just jump on him, you go back in the scriptures, even before Moses' day, and you'll find several times God had to speak several times to people, say, do what I tell you to do. Do what I tell you to do. Now, God shouldn't have to treat us that way. And by the way, because he told Moses four times, doesn't mean you're going to get four times. Doesn't mean you're guaranteed. Well, I don't have to worry. That's only the second time. Two more to go.
No, no.
No, you better hang on.
Amen.
You better hang on. I remember Dad, one time he said, son, if I tell you, do it.
Yes, sir.
Don't make me have to say it again, all right? And my brother and I learned that eventually. It was a painful lesson occasionally, but we learned it, all right?
Amen.
We learned it. Hey, listen, don't make it have to be a painful lesson from God.
Amen.
He says, look, it's time to go, then go, go. So he did. Look at verse 20. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Man, on the road to serving God, your family needs to be included.
Amen.
And Moses took his wife and his sons, set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt.
Right.
Your family needs to be included.
Right.
Moses was leaving Jethro. Mm-hmm. Moses was leaving Midian, but he wasn't leaving everything. He wasn't leaving everything. Hey, I'm sure he had things to take, just like we have stuff. You know, there's clothing and there's bedding and that kind of stuff. And in that day, you could take your house with you, all right? Because you lived in a tent many times. So you could just say, well, we'll have to buy a new house when we get there. No, you could roll it up and take it with you, all right?
Amen.
So we don't know what all he took, but we do know two things he took. One's he took his family. He took his family. Would you look at the order that's given there in verse 20?
Yes, sir.
Notice it says Moses first took his wife and his sons.
That's right.
Can I say this? Dad leads the way.
Amen.
That is the God-given order for the family. You talk about something that's messed up in our day,
amen.
This is messed up.
Yes, sir.
Folks rebel against it with everything that's within them. There are some men refuse to step up and take the lead the way they should. Now, notice, I always have to say this because people are so dumb today, all right? It's take the lead, not get out the whip, okay? Take the lead and lead and say, we're going, all right? That's the God-given order. Too many homes in our day, Dad's not the leader. And a lot of times he won't step up and lead. A lot of times Mama won't let him lead. She refuses to go along, all right? Hey, if Dad's not the leader, I'm just going to tell you something. Trouble's on the horizon. There's going to be problems down the way. But another thing I want you to see here is when you serve God, the family is not to be left out.
Amen.
The family's not to be forgotten.
No, sir.
The family's not to be neglected. Or not to do that. In you serving God, don't neglect your family. Don't neglect. Get them involved. Get them involved in it, all right? Make it something, hey, it's a family affair. We're all involved in what's going on, all right? Get everybody. Whole family ought to be involved. Hey, you don't have to neglect your family. You don't have to forget them to serve God. You just don't have to do that. You can include them along the way, all right? Now, you shouldn't have to force it, but it ought to be a matter-of-fact thing. A matter-of-fact thing. I've said this many times. When we were kids, there was never the question, the dad never came on Saturday night and said, well, y'all won't go to church tomorrow, y'all won't stay home. Now, on the other hand, we never got a lecture on Saturday night. All right, you bunch of reprobates, you are going to church tomorrow. We never got that. It was just a matter-of-fact thing. This is what we do. There was never a question. Hey, this is what we do. It's Sunday. We're going to church. We're going to serve the Lord. It's the Lord's day. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do it. It's just what we do. And my brother and I one time were given free tickets to a Cowboy game. Back when they played at the old Texas Stadium there in Irving. And we were given free tickets. And it was, of course, the only day you can play professional football then was Sunday, all right? That's still the main day they play. So we had those tickets, and they were free. And God help us, we don't want to waste free stuff, all right? So Sunday morning service was over. I think at that time we were still running. We were on the bus routes. Ran that. We came back, hopped in the vehicle. Well, changed clothes real quick. Hopped in the vehicle and trucked it to the football stadium. Grabbed something to eat on the way. Parked in the lower reaches of Slobovia and hiked to the stadium, because we were late getting there. Got there in time. They kicked off. We got to see the first half. End of the first half, we're leaving.
Yep.
Why? Well, we got to get back to church.
That's right.
We got to get back to church.
Amen.
I don't remember Dad threatening us. Dad never said, now, boy, if you don't show up tonight, it's curtains. You'll find your clothes on the front porch. I wasn't that because he knew. Hey, as a matter of fact, we're going to serve the Lord. We're just going to serve the Lord. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. It just becomes custom. It's a habit. It's a habitual thing we do. We're going to keep doing it. Look, you ought never wake up on Sunday morning and think, are we going to church? Man, you ought to go to bed Saturday night with already planning what you're going to wear, all right? You ought to have it lined out. You ought to be ready. Got to get up here. This is what we're going to have for breakfast, all right? Whatever it is, but this is it. Planning that way. That's just what, why? Well, that's what we do. That's what we do. And everything in the way you serve God just ought to be part of your life. It's part of my life. We go visiting, all right? This is when we go visiting. This is what we do. That's when it happens. That's what we do. He went, all right? He took his family. That's not all he took. Would you look there at the end of verse 21? The Bible said he took the rod of God. He took the rod of God. Now, as far as we know, that must have been a shepherd's crook. All right? Because that's the rod that Moses would have had in his hand. He was a shepherd when all that went down, all right? So that's what he would have had. Now, wait a minute. There was no need, in one sense, for him to take that rod because he wasn't going to be shepherding anymore. He wasn't going to be herding sheep, all right? That part of his life was over. You say, well, why did he take that rod of God? Because of what it represented.
Amen.
Plus, God had told him, hey, you're going to use that. You're going to use that. We're going to use that to speak to Pharaoh. We're going to use the truth of the matter is Moses carried that rod the rest of his life.
Amen.
The rest of his life. Now I just want you to think a little bit. What could that represent for you and me? I don't know how many of y'all have a shepherd's crook at home. I was suspicious that's the way it would be. We don't have one at our house. All the sticks we used to have, they're no good. We broke them on the kids when we were beating them as they were growing up. I was kidding about that, all right? No, we don't have that, okay? That's not around. You say, well, what are we talking about? Well, tell you what, could just be your Bible.
Amen.
Now, I want to remind you, that shepherd's crook, when they took it into Egypt, it was going to be something they did not value at all. Didn't value that at all. Let me say this. The world doesn't value that book.
Preach it.
The world doesn't value this book right here. They'd just soon you leave it out. You get in a conversation and you say what the Bible says, there'll be somebody to say, wait a minute, we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
We're not interested in that. The world doesn't value this book anymore. Doesn't do it. I mean, here in our land, we pay lip service to it on occasion. But we got where we don't even pay much lip service to it anymore. The world doesn't value it, but you and I should. And that'll be something we take along because the place it holds for us. The place it holds for us. It might be a rod of correction. The world doesn't think much of that anymore either. But I'll tell you, kids still need to be disciplined. Kids still need to be spanked. All right? Not beaten. Not beaten. Spanked. And if you do it right, it's not abusive. It's not a beating. It's not where somebody can blame, oh, you know, no, get over it, all right? Man, I got plenty of spankings, and there were occasions I thought I was going to die, but I was never close, all right? I was never even close, not even remotely. Hey, some things the world doesn't value anymore, but we need to hang on to them, all right? We need to hang on to them. We need to be sure we take them with us in life. They're going to come in mighty handy serving the Lord. The last thing I want you to see is verse 21. Verse 21. Now, we're not going to end on a high note tonight, okay? You know, this is not one of those deals, you know, where, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where never is heard a discouraging word. Well, this could be discouraging. If you look at verse 21, listen, I think we need to face the facts. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. Wait a minute. Stop right there. Remember why Moses was going to Egypt? Check on his brethren. No. He was going. God said, you go down there, and I'm sending you down to lead my people out of there. You go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But wait a minute. Look at the next words in verse 21. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. Boy, how would you like to be given a job? Say, okay, this is what you need to do. Go talk so-and-so and tell them you need to do this. But I'll tell you before you go, they ain't going to do it. Well, why are we doing it then? I mean, wouldn't that have been your question? Well, listen, God, could you just take care of all the preliminary stuff before I get there? And then when I get there, make him willing to let him go. Isn't that the way we want things to be? We want it to be where there's no opposition, there's no mountains to climb, there's no hurdles to jump, that's downhill all the way, pedal to the metal, and let it go. But I'll tell you, life's not that way. You got to face some facts. You have to face some facts. He told Moses from the start how tough it was going to be. Moses did not go into this situation with any false ideas. God told him, I'm going to harden his heart, and he's not going to let them go. He's not going to let them go. You know, sometimes some people look at that and say, well, that ain't right. God hardened his heart. Well, wait a minute, all right? Check it out. As you read in the next few chapters in here, you'll find sometimes the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart.
Amen. That's right.
You'll find sometimes it says God hardened it.
That's right.
And you'll find sometimes it just said his heart got hard.
That's right. Amen.
But I'm going to tell you this, all right? When God hardened his heart, it was justified punishment.
Amen.
For the evil hardening of his heart that he had to the condition of Israel.
Yes, sir.
And my friend, you hang in there. You live like that, you're going to pay a price. And Pharaoh was about to pay a price. Now, what do we learn from that? Because you and I, we're not sent to Egypt. If we are sent to Egypt, we're not sent to Pharaoh. The only Pharaohs you'll find over there, you'll have to dig for them. Because they're dead and buried, and you get caught, and you'll go to prison for a long time. You're not sent over there to get Pharaoh to turn somebody loose. So what's the application for you and I I'll tell you this, in your service for God, you can expect rejection by a lot of people.
Amen.
A lot of people are going to reject it. A lot of people are going to reject the message you go with. They won't hear it, but don't let it cause you to stop, okay? Don't let that cause you to stop. We have to realize something. When you're serving God, you're not in the business, and you're not just here to please people.
Right.
We're here to please God, all right? We're here to please God. Some people will let you help them. Some people won't.
Amen.
Some people will reject it. Some people will harden their heart and reject it. Some of them will curse you. Hey, it'll take place. All of that can happen. You say, well, I ought not do that. If God's told me to go, he should have prepared the way. And there shouldn't be. Look, you're going to face rejection. You're going to face rejection. But can I remind you of something? Look at verse 22. Verse 22, Moses was told, he said in verse 21, God told him he's going to harden his heart and he's not going to let him go. And he said, here's what you're going to say.
Right.
Thus saith
Amen.
The Lord.
Right.
Thus saith the Lord. That's the first time that phrase appears in your Bible. The first time the phrase, thus saith the Lord, shows up is right here. Right here. God told Moses, Moses, when you go down there, you let him know where the message is coming from.
Amen. That's right.
You let him know where the message is coming from. Can I tell you this? If I stand up here and preach to you, I better not preach, thus says Brother Mosley. I better be preaching, thus saith
Amen.
The Lord. This is what God says. This is what the Word of God says. My friend, what he says is more important than what we say.
Oh, yes.
What he says is more important than what we have to endure. We may have to endure some tough times. We may have to endure some rejection. We may have to stand that. Look, there's been missionaries that went into a field and they spent years before the first person ever got saved.
Amen.
Before the first person ever got saved, took years
right. For
that first convert. But they didn't quit. They stayed after it. Faced rejection? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most everybody in the realm of Christianity has heard the account of the life of a fellow named Nate Saint and the men, a few men with him, how they were trying to get the gospel to a group of headhunters. And they flew in, made contact, and every one of them were killed.
Right.
Every one of them were killed. But they didn't. The people that were behind them and backing them didn't give up.
Amen.
They stayed with it. And those people were eventually evangelized.
Amen.
Why? They could have said, well, forget it. If that's the way you're going to be, just forget it.
That's right.
But they didn't do it. Look, we want things to be easy. I just want to tell you, life's not easy. You just got to endure some things. You have to endure some things. If God speaks to you, God gives you a job to do, do not say, well, as long as I start doing it, everything will be smooth. No, it won't. There'll be some bumps in the road, okay? There'll be some mountains to climb. There may be some valleys to go through. But if God's called you and God is directing you, stay with it. And I want to repeat again, God has called you.
Amen.
If you're saved, God's called you to serve him.
Right.
God's called you. You need to get involved. You said, I was thinking about it till you got to that last point there. You discouraged me. Oh, don't let that discourage you.
No, sir.
Don't let that discourage you. Let me ask you a question. If I was to ask you tonight, who is the greatest hitter in the history of baseball? There'd be arguments. There'd be argument. Some people say, well, it's got to be this guy because he hit the most home runs anybody ever hit. And I'd call the person's name, but I'm not sure now who holds the record, all right? But, you know, and we could do that. It used to be easy because the same guy held it for a long time, but then they started surpassing him. So you could go from there. You could say, oh, no, 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 it's this guy. He hit for the best average. But let's face it. In the major leagues now, if you're batting 300, 350, you're considered a real hitter. What that means is two out of the three times you come to bat, you don't get on base. You don't get a hit. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying they fail more than they succeed. They fail more than they succeed. Yeah, it's just, but we look at life, we look at baseball, great hitter, great hitter. But we look at Christianity, we say, I failed, I'm done. Yep. Somebody opposed me, I'm out of here. What in the world's wrong with us? Listen, got an opportunity to serve God, serve Him. Get in there. Now expect the little disagreement. Expect some rejection. All right? Expect that. Realize I'm going to have to sever some ties. I may have to face some tough times. I may have to face the facts. But I'm still going to do it. All right? I'm still going to do it. Don't quit on God. Don't bail. But get involved. I guarantee you, Moses right here had no idea what he was facing. He said if he'd have known, he'd have quit. I don't know that, and neither do you. Now, when we say that, what that means is, if I'd have known it, I'd have quit.
There you go. Amen.
But that's not necessarily Moses. But if God's put you there, given you a place to serve Him, amen, serve Him. You say, I don't have a place. Look for one.
Come on, amen.
Look for one. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us see that the road to service, Lord, is not just a smooth road. There's some steps need to be taken. There's some difficulties to face. But Lord, the truth of the matter is, it's sure worth it. It'll be worth it when we stand before God. Lord, help us to have a desire, an excitement to serve You and to be faithful in the doing of it. Use us, Lord. Help us to be what You want us to be. For us, in Jesus' name, we pray and ask it all. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. We're glad you're here. You're dismissed.